Okay, we will start this session. I think there are still a few stragglers coming in. However, I think that we will start the session. And first of all, I'd like to, not that I can do anything about it, apologise for the cold in here. We are doing everything that we can with the hotel to try to make it warmer, including we did pull the curtains to see if that would keep the warmth in, but somehow they got opened again, so I don't quite know why. But I actually think, well, it's actually to get us ready for going outside for our photograph, that we're cold enough before we go out. However, a lot of hot air in here, a lot of discussion, and I think that we can warm it up. And if it gets really cold, we might do some form of, I haven't told you all, I've been an aerobics instructor. No, that's a lie. However, I'm sure that I can do something about keeping us warm in some way, shape, or form. However, let us hope that thinking about the conference strategy will get us there. So, IFRS conferences, I think a real topical thing for a number of us, they're actually synonymous with the ISB. I'm sure we have all attended at least one, and in fact, I'm now going to ask you, your table tennis bats, for those that don't know, it's to vote. Who has attended an IFRS conference? Table tennis bat up, please. Okay, so slightly less than half of us, but quite a significant number. Thank you. And other conferences, of course, that we have all attended, either as participants, we've organised them, or in fact we've been speakers at them. I'm sure that is the case for all of us. And if we think about those conferences, whether they're the IFRS or others, every single one of them has its own specific objectives, as well as for you as an individual, your personal objectives for both whether you decide you're going to attend or whether, in fact, you accept a speaking engagement at a conference. It's not always about being educated. Sometimes it's potentially more about networking. That's why we go. That's why we accept a speaking engagement. But I think it would be fair to say that for all of us now, and I may certainly be showing my age on this compared to when I started going to conferences, it's different. There are different, more effective ways of both education and networking, and we're going to be talking about social media later. Perhaps that's the way of networking of the future. So we as individuals are grappling with the benefit of conferences for ourselves. Of course, the foundation is in a similar place, and it too is in the process of evaluating both the benefits that it truly is seeking from the conferences, as well as the most effective way of achieving those benefits. And because of the fact that we are such a diverse group, I think that we're in a great position to be able to help Matt in particular and his team in providing our advice, thinking about that experience on potentially which way the foundation should go. So this session, to start with, Matt is basically going to set us up with some background information about the board's current conference strategy and then ask us to consider some specific questions, both around the objectives, and I think, personally, I think that's key, and then the benefits. So let's start with that, and Matt, I hand it all over to you.
Thank you, Joanna, and thank you very much for this opportunity. We really are excited to talk with the Advisory Council. This is an ideal time for us to have this discussion. We are about to, and we are in the midst of really focusing in on this conference strategy, and what we hear today and the advice that we receive will have a significant impact, I think, on where we go with that conference strategy. And you will see the output of that, I think, within a relatively short period of time. We will be wanting to have that strategy nailed down, and I look forward to showing you how we have changed based on the feedback we get today. So it is really important to us. So again, thank you for your time today. As Joanna said, we'd like to start today by giving you a little bit of background. We've got a relatively short period of time. I think I've got about 10 to 12 minutes left to take you through this material, but I'm taking it as read that you've had the opportunity to look through those quite detailed slides. So I will be flicking quite quickly through some. If there's something that you would like for me to drill down into a little bit more, please ask. We'll have an opportunity at the end. We'll then obviously have our breakout sessions, and like the session we did before, these questions to us build on each other. So we would ask you, as you look through them, to go through them in order and reflect on how they interrelate with each other. But at the end of the day, the questions we're asking you today is, have we correctly identified why we do conferences? What are the most important elements of conferences from the Advisory Council's perspective, and are there better ways to achieve those key outcomes? And finally, some thoughts and feedback about if you were to give us advice or to give us your thoughts on what our mix should look like, we'd be interested to hear. And we will have a panel discussion later today, bringing it all together. So if we start with the background, very, very briefly, I think it's important. We do quite a lot of different conference-like activities, and that information is included in the Appendix 3 to your document, a range of activities we do. What we really want to focus on today is what I would term the traditional style conference. For the IFRS, it involves live sessions, people standing up and having an audience in the room. We do it over 2 days. We have multiple parallel sessions where people decide what sessions to go to, and we try and target on a very wide audience. For these conferences, the IFRS is very much in control of the agenda. That is not necessarily always true of all of the activities that we're engaged in. We participate but don't control the agenda. Sometimes, in this case, we do. And you have an example of last year's conference. I think some of the key points about the IFRS conferences as they stand at the moment is that the speakers are primarily from the ISB. There are some external panelists, but they are not the majority of speakers at our conferences. We have, I would suggest, limited networking and social elements. We have breaks, much like we have here, but no real drive and specific focus on networking activities. We often do undertake these activities with jointly with local or regional accounting bodies to try and A, assist us in getting the content appropriate to the region, and B, to obviously allow people to find out about the conference that is happening. Traditionally, what we've aimed to do is to run approximately 3 conferences each year on a very similar format. And we've had other events around that, but the IFRS conference has been very focused on 3 activities around the globe. We have been trying some more focus-type workshops, and we've got an example of what I would call a more focused workshop in attachment 2 of an activity we undertook in Kuala Lumpur, which involved a much smaller group of ISB representatives and was a much more focused conference. So as I said, we traditionally run 3 conferences a year. We participate in other events, and we've provided you with that information. Just a very quick overview. We do try and move around the globe, and I think in sort of between 2014 and 2017, we have been quite successful in our geographic spread. Joanna beat me to the question. I'm very pleased to see that so many of you have attended a conference. That was something that was very interesting to us, and I think it actually bodes very well for the discussion later on that many of you have been involved. So I'm looking forward to you reflecting on that experience you've had. We obviously want you to focus within the context of the broader ISB or IFRS Foundation objective. At its sort of core is this desire to develop a single set of high-quality, understandable, enforceable, and globally accepted accounting standards, and to promote and facilitate adoption of the standards. We think that the conferences cut across a number of these elements. What's been interesting to me in this process is that when I talk to various groups, even internally within the organization, as to why various people think we run conferences. I expected to have sort of one or two very clear and specific objectives. And I think what is interesting is we get different people have very different ideas about why we do conferences and what is the most important reason for doing them. And that, to me, has been really interesting over the last few months as we've started this process. So I think it boils down internally into four key areas. We believe that conferences are about improving understanding through education. We think that conferences strengthen relationships around the globe. It is interesting to me that that is often seen as quite an important element when we travel around our engagement with local bodies in those regions. It's important for us to learn from our stakeholders. It's one of the ways in which we hear from various stakeholder groups, both in specific about specific standards, but also more broadly just in terms of issues that we should be aware of. And finally, and I think one that's been more emergent, is this concept of the importance it has for the IFRS brand. Sue Lloyd, who isn't here, talks about this as showing the love and also getting people to understand. I think another board member talks about a horns and tails strategy to show that board members aren't disconnected and aren't sort of people you can't talk to, that they are engaged and they are, as a group, you know, engaged in these broader issues around accounting. So we've tried to outline those. I'll jump very quickly over those slides, but we've tried to pull out some of those reasons that we do things. And again, this is going to be an important part of our discussion. We'd like to hear from you today about why you think we should be doing these conferences. So take what we've got here, either build on it or reinforce it. I'm interested to know if we've got it right from your perspective or there's things we've missed. The audience, I think, is an important issue, and I think one that we still have to explore, and I think it is going to be important to think about this when you give us your responses, and we've asked you to think about this. Who do you think our audience is for these conferences? Because I think that does have an important impact on why we do these conferences. So right at the moment, I think that our audiences are diverse. Predominantly preparers, auditors and regulators, some lawyers and some academics and others as well, but certainly predominantly. We were looking at this over our various conferences, and I think it is true that this is broadly true at most of our conferences. What is clear to me, though, from looking at the data, our European conference tends to attract what I would term as more senior people in those roles, whereas when we do a more regional conference, they tend to be a much wider range of accounting experience, let's say. Very briefly, our feedback. I think our feedback, and this is feedback from participants, and we obviously get feedback on a range of attributes, but I think the feedback is very good, and what I think also is interesting is that it's been improving significantly over time. So we give you that information from the perspective of whether participants are positive, I guess, about what we are doing. So there are some emergent issues. Why are we thinking about strategy now in terms of conferences? Well, the biggest reason is that conferences are resource intensive. We are a relatively small organization. There are significant demands on our time. And the conferences are a significant amount or require a significant amount of input from staff and board members and administrative staff. So, you know, they are rigorously prepared. What we present has to be accurate and has to reflect what we the board would like to reflect to the wider audience. We try, and I think we achieve high presentation values. We spend time carefully constructing our messaging to make sure that we are getting out the key messages that the board would like to get out. They involve parallel sessions, and speaking for myself and Gloria, who many of you may know as well, we take on quite a high coordination role, and it is a lot of time for us as well. So some rough estimates, we believe that a large conference requires more than, and potentially significantly more than 100 hours of administrative time and well over 150 hours of technical staff time, which on the surface may look like a lot. I was doing some quick calculations. We present about 30 hours of content at an average two-day conference. And when you think about that, that actually is not... that means we're spending about 5 hours on each hour, which really isn't a lot, and I suspect does underrepresent the amount of time we spend in preparing for those conference presentations. This is another emergent issue. We are getting falling attendance. At our European conference, maybe not significant, down from an average of 400 in 2014 down to about 300 in 2017. Whether that's the content, whether that's just an overall trend is something that we're interested to think about and the impact. But 300 is still a good number. And if they are 300 of the right people who are important for us to be hearing from and important for us to be talking to, that may still be a valuable number. Our other IFRS conferences, very variable in number, but again, significant drops in numbers over the last 4 years. There's been a lot of discussion about the commercial aspects. We don't want to focus on that today. We can touch on it if you want, and if someone or if people think that should be one of the main reasons we run conferences, I'd be interested to hear that. They do contribute some self-generated income to the foundation, but that income ignores staff costs at the moment. So, if we divide the hours into the actual income, we get quite different numbers, I guess. And when we actually break it down, 60% of the income we earn from conferences just comes from the European conference. The other 30%, or I should say another 30%, actually comes from what we call co-branded conferences. Now, we're not discussing those today, but they are not the traditional IFRS conference that we're looking at today. They are where we tend to participate in other people's conferences. We have a changing context. We've focused very heavily on the big three in the last 3 or 4 years, and I wonder whether that's contributing to the decline. I'm not certain, but certainly it's possible that people have heard enough about 9, 15, and 16. But then the question is, what should we focus on next? Is there a cultural change? Joanna alluded to this, and we're very interested to think about whether conferences are a thing of the past. They are obviously expensive to participate in for participants, and we've tried to give you an idea of the kinds of costs that are involved. And maybe it's time for us to look at other technologies, as Joanna said. We tried something different in 2017. In working with the ICAEW, we did what we would call a hybrid model. And I know I'm almost out of time, but just to give you an idea what we mean by that, and I think it was something that we worked with the ICAW with, and I think it worked very well. It was the idea, it was an online conference, but it was a combination of pre-recorded and live events. And we really did try and focus it around a period of time and say, participate in these 2 or 3 days, well, it was actually 1 day, participate on this 1 day, and you will get the benefit of not only the pre-recorded information about leases, but also live discussions that won't be available otherwise. So it was a combination of live and pre-recorded elements. We had well over 600, I think I've said that before, it's over 480 participants in that conference. It was a wide range. I think there were things that we learned and we could do better in the future. It was charged about $60 to participate in that conference. What I was most excited about was the feedback we got. People felt that it was an opportunity to participate that they hadn't had before, that people had low expectations but actually very much enjoyed the element of that conference, and of course that it gave opportunities to people who would not normally have opportunities. We've asked you to talk to us about alternatives to the IFRS conference. I've listed some here. This is not meant to be a definitive list. These are some of the things that we could do as well or instead of conferences, workshops, online conferences, webinars, participating in other conferences instead, developing more interactive material like CPD, Maybe just instead of an interactive CPD, more low-tech but easier to produce educational material and publications. So we're asking you to look at alternatives. We've listed some here, but this is not meant to be definitive. If you've got other suggestions, we'd be interested to hear those. So today we have three questions for you, and we're trying to tease out quite a lot, I know, and we'd ask you to try to give equal time, or at least approximately equal time, to each of those and really build from one to the other. The other thing I'll finally say as you break into groups is that we've tried to break up the groups not just on a random basis. One of the things we think we might hear, and we would like the chairs particularly to pull out, is there may be regional variations that mean that conferences mean different things or have different relevance in different jurisdictions. So one of the things I would ask the chairs to try and pull out today and be cognitive of is making sure that if people, we're not trying to reach a consensus here today. In fact, we're trying to hear if there are differences within the groups that we should be aware of. So make sure if you're in a group and you feel that perhaps your region has a different perspective, please make sure that it's heard. And that's one of the things we're really interested in today. So thank you, Joanna, for that opportunity to tee it up, and I'll hand back to you.
Thanks very much, Matt. I think that gives us quite a lot of background, and I think in particular, I thank you, Matt, and I know I put a bit of pressure on you to give us the information about the facts of, you know, how much it does take in resources and the costs and the attendance, and I think that's really useful for us to be able to focus on. I pulled out, I have to say, going through this myself, just a few things which I might just reiterate that in terms of thinking and answering those questions, which is, first of all, the objectives on slide 10, are they valid and are they achieved? Think about the dropping numbers. Think about the significant costs. Think about the fact that although there is some commercial revenue, it ignores the opportunity costs of the staff and the board. And what are those opportunity costs? Producing the technical work, potentially. And therefore, I come back to that expression that I used in my introductory comments, the cost benefit of the conferences, because everything that we should do, it should be effective. So have we got the cost benefit right? And it's the intangible benefit, obviously, as well matching with the costs. The alternatives that Matt has put on those slides, arguably they are alternatives for the education part of the objectives. But do they actually deal with the other part of the objectives? What are the alternatives in terms of the IFRS brand or the relationships across the regions? And is there a risk of not achieving this? Or in fact, can those be achieved in alternative ways? I think it's important that we do think about those. Matt has got, and we've got three very, very specific questions, which we really do need your input on. However, I'm actually going to suggest that some wider discussion and feedback, including some of those things I've just raised, are worth talking about and giving us feedback on. And in particular, I think the bit around the other non-education objectives, I think are quite important in terms of ideas around that.